On a visit to Angkor Wat in Cambodia 10 years ago, Anne Bass attended a performance of a local dance troupe and was so impressed by one of the young dancers, Savanara Sar, that she arranged for him to come to New York to study with the School of American Ballet. She's made a film chronicling the development of his career since that fateful visit. It's called Dancing Across Borders, and it opens this Friday at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street. I'm very pleased that it brings Anne Bass and Savanara Sar to our show today. Hello.
Hi,
hello.
How you doing?
And do you have a background in dance?
I don't have a professional background in dance, but like many children in the United States, I studied ballet as a girl. And I, once my children grew up, once my children started studying ballet, I started taking class again, and I still do take class.
But when you were in Cambodia, you weren't scouting for talented dancers to bring.
No, certainly not. I was just an American tourist, you know, enjoying the architecture and the, you know, all the arts of Cambodia. I had no idea what I was going to find.
So, but I understand that people call you C, right?
Yes.
Why C?
C just the name that was given to me by my mom when I was a little kid.
Ah. I thought it was something that Americans said because they can't
pronounce
it. How far is Angkor Wat from Phnom Penh, the capital?
It's about 300 kilometers, so it's 160, mm-hmm. 160 miles.
So it's not all that close. And you grew up right near Angkor Wat.
Right, right.
Which used to be the capital of the ancient Khmer Empire.
That's right.
What is it today other than a popular tourist destination?
What is it? Angkor is just the best place to be for tourists, I'm just so thankful that I'm from there. It's safer and it's more there's stuff around there, you know. It's not like back in the day when you go in there and you just have to climb up in, you know, jungles and stuff. So it's very attractive.
Or
to
the
tourists.
Times when the Khmer Rouge were in power and they would shoot up some of the statues for target practice.
Right.
What kind of troupe were you dancing with in Angkor Wat?
I was with a dance group called Wat Bo School, and that's just about a couple of miles away from Angkor Wat. Mm-hmm. It's called Wat Bo School, yes.
And you're dancing traditional Cambodian dance?
Traditional Cambodian dance.
Which had been banned during the Khmer Rouge years.
Oh, everything was banned during that years, yes.
And what was it about C that made him stand out for you?
Well, first of all, C is very natural performer. He has great charisma on stage, and he has incredible musicality and rhythm and grace. And he projects an intense joy, and he's just a pleasure to watch. And when he's on stage, you just don't see anyone else.
Well, I have seen other great dancers in other dance traditions, but that didn't make me think that they'd make good ballet dancers.
Right. Well, I guess the reason I thought he would make a good ballet dancer is because that's what I know best. But he did adapt to it very quickly.
Well, how did you go about arranging to have him come to the United States?
Well, it wasn't as if when I saw him, I immediately had the thought to bring him to the United States. I went back to the United States and actually, I was actually having dreams about his performance, and one day about
you had filmed it, hadn't you?
No, I actually hadn't filmed it. The film that we see in the film, I mean, the performance, it was actually taken by the man who helped me bring C to the United States from the World Monuments Fund. And you can tell he's not a professional filmer because it was taken from the wings rather than from the front. But fortunately, we have something from when he was in Cambodia. But anyway, I came back to the United States, and I kept thinking about his performance and how sad it would be for the talent to go to waste, because there really isn't much of a future for dancers in Cambodia, and especially male dancers, because all the roles are taken by women. So I don't know. I just one day just – it was almost something made me do it. I wrote a letter and invited him to come see if he'd like to study.
Considering that it's hard for a male dancer to make it in Cambodia, what were your – what did you think you'd be doing after you outgrew this company?
You know, I wasn't, well, first of all, dancing in Cambodia, as Anne said, it's really not that much of a future. I was looking for something else. I was doing the Japanese lessons, which I wanted to become a Japanese tour guide. That's how the time was to be a tour guide was you know, pretty successful if you can become one. To become a businessman or things like that depends on what my parents wanted me to do.
So what did you think when you got the invitation to come to the United States? How old were you?
I was about 16, yes, about to turn 17. But, well, first I didn't know that it was for real. But then it was just a little bit shock, a little bit, you know, disbelief. You know, I was excited by the idea. It's like a dream to come to America.
Well, had you ever seen or even heard of Western ballet?
No, never. And sent me a couple of tapes to check out when I was there, when she sent the invitation. And my whole family would just sit down and with this black and white TV, and we watched it. And I was just like, what the heck is this? People are like wearing ties and women were on pointe shoes. And I'm like, wow. All right, let's do it.
And what did your parents think?
They didn't have that much things to say about it. They were just excited the fact that I was invited to come to America and take this opportunity and make my future and their future lives better. Yeah.
My guests are Ann Bass and Sukhvanara Sar. We're talking about the story that's told in a film called Dancing Across Borders, which opens this Friday at the Quad Cinema. What happens when C gets to New York? Was he able to audition for the School of American Ballet right away?
Well, the first thing that happened is that he had several days of jet lag to get over, because it's quite a trip, as you know. It's halfway around the world.
And he didn't speak English.
And he didn't speak a word of English. So we had the interpreters, and, you know, it was actually quite elaborate, the way the days went. But anyway, he observed classes at the School of American Ballet for about a week. And then he did audition, but the teacher who's in the film, Olga Kostritsky, saw him do a performance. She invited him to perform in front of her class, and she understood what I saw right away. She saw the musicality, the charisma, and all of that. But the other teachers hadn't seen him perform, but they put him through just the usual audition that's given to an American ballet student. Of course, he had no training.
Yeah, they would assume that he knew how to do all sorts of things.
And he didn't know anything, of course. He only knew Khmer dance. So they were like, well, he doesn't know ballet. We can't accept him. So that was the drama. But Olga agreed to teach him over the summer. And Peter Martins very kindly said, well, we'll take another look at him in the fall and see if he's improved. And in fact, he had. And he improved so much that he was accepted at the school in the fall.
Well, see, what happened, what was going through your mind during that audition? You must have felt like you were totally at sea.
I don't know what to think back then. I didn't understand what they wanted me to do at all. Not being seen ballet before, and they was telling me to do what, tambe, pas de bourrée, glissade assemblée, whatever. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this is supposed to be. And they just said, do some jumps, and I remember I was in short and not a proper ballet costumes, and just, you know, there was a translator there just, you know, talking in Khmer to me, like, jump. So I'm like, okay, I'll jump. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but yeah, it was just ridiculous.
But then you did get into the school after.
Yes.
You studied a little bit with Olga Kostritsky, who obviously is a wonderful, generous spirit.
For me, she's the best.
But you were much older than the other students. You were really starting with a major handicap.
Right. I was usually people start ballet when they were 8 or 9 or sometimes 10 or 11. That's probably a little bit late. But I was almost 17. So it was kind of crazy, yeah.
And then you're studying English at the same time?
Yes.
Did you? It's obvious you picked up English very well. Were you able to pick up ballet as quickly?
Yeah. Well, I really tried, and you know, it with the help with of Olga and the School of American Ballet, that, you know, it really pushed me.
So, although I'd imagine you were experiencing a lot of culture shock, and you must have been homesick.
Oh, it was everything. I was homesick. I was, you know, hungry. I miss my mom's cooking and all that kind of stuff. and all my friends. It was a little bit difficult for me to make friends here. It took me a while to adapt to the style of just the way people live here, you know.
And then there's a whole culture of ballet, which is unlike any other dance culture.
Oh, that's also, I mean, everything just different from what I used to back in Cambodia.
And were you concerned for him? Hadn't you, in effect, adopted him?
Well, I suppose one could say that, and certainly I was concerned for him, but, you know, he was also an adult, and I couldn't treat him like a small child, so it was a fine line, you know. It was very challenging to mm-hmm. know exactly what to do for him. And sometimes I did. I just had my doubts if I had done the right thing. But then I'd watch him in the studio and how much progress he was making and how well he was doing and how much he seemed to actually enjoy that. And I thought, well, hopefully, you know, in the long run, he will, you know, his English will improve and he'll become comfortable with the culture.
And I'm sure you saw this as an opportunity, you see, to make a living as a dancer, something you couldn't have done back in Cambodia.
Well, you can say that too, yes.
And how many years did you spend at the School of American Ballet?
I spent about 5 years. I graduated in 2005, I believe.
And then you went to the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle?
Yes.
Did they come scouting you? Is that how you wound up with that?
Well, one of my teachers at School of American Ballet was becoming the director of Pacific Northwest Ballet, and he just asked me to come. He invited me to come.
So are you performing with them now?
Not at the moment, no.
What are you doing now?
I'm just kind of guesting here and there a little bit. I'm not with that company anymore. About a couple months ago that I left.
Well, and in the film we see sequences from Cambodia, New York, Seattle, a ballet competition in Varna, Bulgaria, a dance festival in Vail, and you were suddenly, as a new filmmaker, running around shooting all of this stuff?
I was, and it was, someone said, what was the most challenging thing about it? And I said, everything, because I was a first-time filmmaker, and so everything was new.
It's one thing to get all that footage together. It's another thing to make a compelling feature film.
Right. Well, I was very fortunate. I had a wonderful co-producer who was very generous with her sources, and she helped me find absolutely wonderful editors and cinematographers. So I was, and they were extremely also generous with me, and very patient with a first-time filmmaker. And I really found the editing process so engaging and absorbing. I loved every minute of it.
Because that's really where you tell the story.
Exactly. And there were it was also very difficult because there were so many stories. At one point, my editor said, you know, we don't have a film, we have a miniseries. And that's how it felt. And you really had to be disciplined to, you know, to stay on track.
What happened when you went back to Cambodia, see? Did people understand what you were doing?
Very few. I mean, just from what I've heard, it used to be a ballet in Cambodia about 30, 40 years ago. And when I went back to perform for the opening of the embassy, that was the first time that the people there have seen ballet in about 35 years.
That was in Phnom Penh?
That was in Phnom Penh, and my parents were there. But they, I mean, some of them laughed at me just because I was wearing ties and all this thing. But they enjoyed it very much, yeah.
What do you see in your future? Do you plan to stay here permanently, or do you plan to go back to Cambodia? Can you imagine starting a ballet school there?
I haven't thought enough about that yet. My main focus now is what I can do now, and then I think as time goes on, I will come to a conclusion. Yes.
And in your case, Anne, you've now made a film. It's opening this Friday. Does that mean you're going to make more movies?
I don't know. Honestly, until I've been making a film really almost up until last week, because a few months ago we decided to make a conversion or a film print in addition to the digital print, and that's like a whole new editing process. So I honestly feel I've just finished making the film, even though it's technically been finished for almost a year. So after a vacation, I might consider making another one.
And Bass's film is called Dancing Across Borders. It opens this Friday at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street. I'm very pleased that she could join me today, along with Sokvin Arasar, the subject of the film. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.